Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're going to be talking about when is the right time to cut ties with an old friend. When is the proper time to move on with your life? I know there can be a lot of questions surrounding this subject because it's hard. You've known them for a long time. They've been around in your life. And we as humans have a tendency of seeing time, longevity, as a big deal. And for some of us, it is. However, sometimes we cling to the relationship purely based on time frame. And let me give you an example. I'm sure that you have a friend right now that you've known for a very long time. And if you're not seeing a therapist, you're seeing a friend as a therapist, i.e. you're out having drinks at the bar. And he said, I can't believe that so-and-so did this to me again. I just can't believe it. How come they keep doing this stuff? I mean, it's crazy. And your other friend's like, you know, you just got to move past that relationship. You've got to move on. You talk about this all the time. It's time to move on with your life. And you go, you know, I know, but I've known him for 16 years. We've been friends since school. We've been friends since middle school. We've been friends since high school. We've been friends since college. Whatever it is, you go back to that time and you explain how and you rationalize why you're hanging on to it based on how long you've known them. And so tonight I'm going to talk about what it means and when is it time to cut the ties with an old friend, how to know when to do it, and the checklist of the issues that you're coming into contact, that you're dealing with right now, that are telltale signs that it's time to move on. You know, the first sign that it's time to move on from your long-term relationship is the one-upping. I don't know about you, but when a relationship starts going south, one or both people begin to try to one-up each other. Usually it's one person out of the blue because of obvious insecurities decides that they're going to one-up their friend. And let me give you a little example here, because this is interesting, especially if you've known this person for a long period of time. So, if you have known them for a long period of time, you've known them probably way before you ever gotten a marriage, or before you really fell in love, or before you really got a great job. So, y'all known each other for a long period of time. And throughout that cycle of time, it's just the way life is that someone's going to be up more than the other or down more than the other. You know how that is. And due to certain gaps and changes, one person might feel a little insecure. As that continues to happen and that insecurity begins to breed, what happens here is the other person decides that they want to one-up you. Meaning they're going to challenge you. They're going to explain how they're better than you. I mean, a good example would be like, you know, let's say you bought a condo and everything's fine. And then, you know, about a year later, your friend buys a house and goes, oh, yeah, I think I spent way more than you did on your condo, right? How much did you buy that condo for? And it begins to be like a one-up scenario. And at first, it can be kind of funny because people do this stuff all the time. It's no big deal. But when it becomes commonplace in your relationship, you begin to realize a little bit more of what's really truly going on. What about put-downs and disrespect? Are you currently dealing with somebody putting you down or disrespecting you in a friendship? Every time they come over to your house, they're like, wow, man, you gained some weight. Ooh, thinking about going to lose some weight over there? Thinking about needing to go to the gym, huh? Wow. Or better yet, walking and coming over by your office, walking into the office saying, wow, you look so tired. Are you okay? Man, you look tired. It's like, golly, I mean, who needs enemies when you got friends like that? And a lot of times it's almost like you don't catch it. Like in the beginning, when this starts off, you don't really catch what they're doing. And it's not until over a period of time when you begin to realize this, that you realize that this person is constantly putting you down. And all of this kind of goes back to when competition rears its ugly head. We normally have problems in relationships when it gets out of being a friendship and turns into a competition. And it would be one thing if both of you were very competitive and highly competitive in nature and just like being very competitive and that was part of your friendship. But the problem was that the friendship didn't begin that way. That was a good thing. That's why you're friends. But it ended up morphing and changing into a competition. One person feels as though they need to compete with the other person. And the problem with that is it's not a basis for friendship. All of our relationships started one way or another. And based on the way that it began is how we interpret not only the quality of the friendship, the continuity of the friendship, but better yet, where are you as far as friends are concerned? And when it becomes like competition rears its ugly head, that begins with the one-upping each other, the disrespect, the put-downs. And a lot of this can be categorized by how each person feels about themselves. And you know that this is something I like to talk about a lot on Perspectives because our relationship with ourselves is directly related to all other relationships. Basically, how we feel about ourselves directly relates to how we feel about others. If you feel really awesome about yourself and you know you're doing the right thing and you're in it to win it, and you're bettering the world around you, and you're doing everything you can, and you're being authentic, you're going to go into every situation and relationship with that thought process and kind of feeling the same way about others until they prove you wrong. And I find it interesting, though, when you're feeling very, not very good, not very effective, very insecure, very stressed out, very scared about what's going to happen in the future, you kind of bring those types of people towards you. And that's another caveat of today's conversation is the fact that maybe at one point in time, your emotional well-being was different. The way you saw the world was different. The way you interpreted things was clearly different. And because it was different, you brought different types of people towards you. And perhaps now that you're more enlightened, you've come to terms with yourself, you're authentic, you're working every day to be genuine, honest, gracious, have gratitude. However, you still spend time with friends who you made in a different mindset, and those same people might still be in that old mindset. And it's hard to take somebody that's fearful or stressed out or panicking or anxious and maybe depressed about the future to move them into the next thought process without some hiccups. And I found that, you know, we always hear that, you know, friendships and friends are for a season. I think that some people might be with you for a lifetime. I don't know. I can't sit there and say, oh, it's only for a season. I think that if you really work to cultivate relationships, people can be in your life for a very long time. It's a two-way street. But there's a very big difference between cultivating relationships and keeping it going, even though everybody has busy schedules, versus when the relationship is not working. And I think one of the options here tonight that we want to talk about is when the other person in the relationship doesn't love or respect themselves, and in turn, doesn't respect you. So I'm saying tonight, basically, categorically, that you obviously love yourself and you respect yourself, because if that's not the case, then you got to sit there and think about maybe why this friendship's not really working out. Does it have something to do with you? However, let's just say in this moment in time that you love yourself, that you've dealt with the things that you felt aren't perfect on you, that you've accepted that you see yourself in all its glory no matter what, and that you truly and honestly respect yourself. If that's the case, then when you look at the other person in the relationship, they have to do the same thing for themselves as well. So just because you love and respect yourself, if they don't love and respect themselves, it doesn't matter. You can't have one whole and one half in a relationship. It doesn't work. Because what happens is the person that's whole thinks that they can help that person find the love and respect that they should have, and they go over there and they hold their hand and they try to figure it out. But the thing is that it doesn't work that way. If you don't see the value within yourself, I'm not going to be able to point it out to you. Right? Think about it. Let's say you're a landowner and you have this amazing property and it backs up to the ocean, but you hate the ocean. You never get in it. You can't stand palm trees. They're just awful. And you want to move somewhere else. And you have the property up for sale, and a couple comes by to see the property and they go, "Oh my God, this is the most beautiful piece of property I've ever seen in my entire life. This is God's country right here." You know what I'm saying? No, we're not in Iowa. We're on the beach. Remember, we're on the beach. Visualize. Beach. Palm trees. You hate them. And that couple is going to tell you how beautiful this property is. And some of them will be quiet because they're going to try to get a better deal from you. And you're going to look at them and be like, "Good riddance. I don't want to live here. It's beautiful. Come on." So nobody can tell you how to love yourself. Nobody can tell you that you should love yourself, because if you don't get it, that comes from within. And that is a big indication when it's time to cut ties with an old friend. Because if that old friend is working on an old operating system based on the fact that they don't love themselves, they can't stand to look at themselves in the mirror, and they don't like to hear their own voice, those are problems. Because a lot of times when somebody doesn't love themselves or respect themselves, they're not going to be able to love you and respect you because they don't understand how to do it. It has to start from within. And I know you hear people all the time say, "Oh, I don't even like myself, but I can love other people." That's not true. That's not true. You can't do, if you can't do it within, you can't do it outside of yourself. What that is not real love and respect. That's a codependency. What they're feeling is not love and respect for the other person. It's a codependency. Because in order to love, you must understand how to love yourself, how to love everybody around you. You must understand how to respect yourself, all those good things. And when you do that, when you can actually do that, you can begin to love someone else. And you know, I think it's interesting tonight because tonight's subject will connect with many people. It'll connect with you. It'll connect with friends of yours. It'll connect with people, relatives, family members. And this is a show that you can share with anybody that you know that you had that conversation with, where they're either telling you about someone that they've known forever, but they just don't know if this relationship or friendship is going to work, or vice versa. Because almost every single person on the planet has gone through this exact thing. So let's talk about it. What are some of the other things that happen when a relationship is past its prime? When a relationship is past its prime, the due date has long gone, starting to smell a little bit on the shelf. What are we supposed to do? And how do we know it? And I think that one of the big keys to knowing that the relationship is ready to move on, ready to let go, ready to move on, ready to find different pastures, or at least maybe work on yourself a little more, is when it feels, when spending time with them feels like a chore, or feels more like punishment than hanging out with a friend. Nobody, including myself, likes punishment. I am not a punishment person. I do not like punishment vacations. I do not like punishment friendships. You know, a punishment vacation, I learned this from this guy like 12 years ago. He's like, a punishment vacation is any vacation that you can't relax and everything is down to the timetable and you have a scheduled, you know, basic journey from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day and you get to do little or nothing of what you want. And, you know, I like structure sometimes, but not like that. And it's the same as in a friendship. If you feel like it's a chore and you feel almost punished to spend time with them, you've really got to think about your, you know, where you are. You know, you got to really rethink your priorities. Because it's interesting, because when we've been around somebody for so long, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, we kind of forget logic and common sense. We don't think about things like, man, I just can't stand this conversation, or wow, it's not having that much fun. I mean, when we're in a newer friendship, we kind of focus on those things a little more because we're like, you know, it's easy. I don't have a lot of time invested in this. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, that's okay. It's really no skin off my back. I'm not really that worried about it. But when we have a lot of time invested, it's like we feel like we got to keep going. I don't know if you saw Seinfeld back in the day, but I love that show. I really, really, really love that show. And there was an episode where Kramer was test driving a car, and he was with the dealership salesman, and you know, the gas indication light went off on the dash, and he's like, you know, let's keep on going. Let's keep going. And so they kept on driving, and they kept on driving, and they kept on driving, and the gas lights just, you know, fire red on, you know, and they're all like, woo, we made it again, we keep going, and eventually they go so far that they run out of gas on the side of the highway. Okay, they run out of gas on the side of the highway. And that's kind of where a long-term friendship that's kind of falling apart, that's basically what we're doing. Is instead of taking a time out, stopping to get some gas to maybe figure out our situation, rework our friendship, maybe try to figure out what we have in common, or maybe take a break, we decide to just keep on going for empty. And I know that we feel that we have to do this, but we don't. I mean, and it's interesting too, when we do take a break from a friendship, there are some chances where you can get the friendship back and it works out. Not always. But it's interesting when you do take a break, because you can each actually step back and like visualize what was really working in that friendship. What do you miss about that friendship? And do you miss the friendship, or do you miss the camaraderie? Or do you miss like the codependency? Or do you just miss the regularity of spending time with this person? And sometimes these friendships can rekindle and can be amazing, and you can start off new. And some of us will realize that we were kind of living in the past, and that's why the friendship started falling apart, because we weren't adding anything new to the relationship. We were just talking about old times. But sometimes it's time to move on. And I personally prefer to move on staying friends instead of move on after everybody hates each other, because we push the friendship to empty. We push it to empty. And we've all been in relationships like that, that we have just pushed it to empty. And you don't even want to see that person. Like, you're like, oh God, is that them? Oh God, I'm going to walk the other way. I can't even deal with this. Oh man. Yeah, seriously. And you got somebody like that in your life right now, too. If you would have just pulled back a little bit and said, hey, let's take a break, or hey, I'm real busy at work, and kind of just step back and realize what was going on, you might have ended the friendship, or you might have just put it on coasting, or you might have done like a once a month thing, but you just had to kill it. So when it feels like a chore or it feels like punishment to spend time with them, that is a natural indication that you need to take a break. What about the fact that you have nothing in common anymore? A lot of us made friends back in high school. Some of us in college. Some of us out of school. And we really, really had a wonderful time with that person. But then as time passed, our values change. Our lifestyles change. What we put value on changes. What we care about changes. And so when all these things change, you know, it's like throwing two people in a blender and throwing them out of the blender and seeing where they land. they could be two way different people. And that can be cool if you understand how to deal with a friendship like that. But most friendships work better when people understand each other. Why they choose why they choose. Why they pick what they pick. Why they live a certain lifestyle. Because it's easier to understand. I mean, yeah, everybody likes the mysterious stuff, but that only lasts for so long. And normally that's in like a love relationship. It's not really in a friendship. You know, another indication that maybe it's time to put the brakes on this relationship is that they're constantly talking about other people. Every time you go out with them, every time you spend time with them, they're constantly talking about negatively about other people. You know, oh, so-and-so did this. Can you believe that? God, she's just awful. He's just awful. You know, or what about always, you know, kind of like grandstanding, talking about possibly friends that are famous. Constantly throwing that in the deck. Oh, I hung out with Robert Redford yesterday, huh? Yep. Morgan Freeman and I rode in his 757. Yeah, over to Mississippi to see his estate home. Oh, did I not tell you that? I mean, these are indications that maybe it's time to move on. Because why do you need to grandstand in front of your good friend? You don't. That goes back to the insecurity and the silent competition. And in life, we have to work really, really hard. And the last thing you want to be paying attention to is your friend over there competing with you. That's supposed to be your best friend. Nobody needs that. That's not something I want. I don't want to sit there and go, oh, great. I get to work past this and do that and do that. And then I got to compete with this person. This is asinine. I have no want or desire to do that. And if somebody's secretly competing with you, that is a definite, definite cutoff time for this friendship. Because it's not a real friendship anymore. It's now a competition. And you can't really trust that person if they're competing against you. Because if you ask them for any sort of advice or what have you have no idea what you're going to get. That advice might be tainted and directed toward you. To put you in a bad situation. If you take it, it's all about you taking that advice. I've had a lot of clients come in and ask me, you know, when is the time to cut off an old friend? At what time is the time to remove yourself from a friendship that is no longer working? And I've had clients come in and they say, you know, my good friend is awesome. We've known each other for so long. But they kind of, like, take their anger out on me a lot. And I said, explain to me. They're like, you know, they got a real stressful job. And I understand because, you know, my job's not that stressful. And we'll go out and have drinks. And I just feel, like, beaten up afterwards. I go home and I don't feel very good. Kind of feel a little ill. I feel like my energy's so drained. And I wake up the next day and I feel better. But then I started realizing that it wasn't that I got ill from the food or whatever. It was just every time I'm around them, I feel emotionally, mentally, and physically drained. What do I do about that? And I've tried to explain to some of my clients, because my book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, I explain how to really focus on that and how to keep your energy within. But it can be kind of difficult in the beginning when you don't know where things are coming from. Or better yet, why they're leaving you. And so when you begin to realize this, that your energy is being depleted every time you're around a certain person, you've got to figure out how you're giving your energy away. But better yet, you have to kind of stand back and see, why is this happening? And I usually urge clients to take a break from the friendship, calibrate how they are around other people, and then reintroduce themselves into the friendship and see if indeed they still feel the same way. Because they could just be giving their energy out to everybody, but a lot of times it can be around certain people who you don't even realize are secretly competing, are kind of putting you down, are taking their anger and resentment out on you, or taking you for granted. And a lot of long-term relationships, not all of them, but some of them, suffer from a condition of taking others for granted. You've been around this whole time. Why would you leave? Think about it. Well, Ashley's been around for 15 years. She's not going anywhere. And it's not like they're all consciously thinking that. Now, come on, they're not all consciously like, I'm going to take advantage of them. No, it's more like it just happens subconsciously. And think about it. Isn't that kind of a human condition even in like love relationships and marriage? In the beginning, when a relationship is new and awesome, we do everything. We show the other person we care. We go out of our way. We go pick them up. We do everything. We don't worry about, oh, well, we got to meet there because I don't want to drive all the way over there. We actually listen to what they have to say. When they call us on the phone, we're actually happy they called instead of like, oh, God. Hey, what's up, man? Think about it. We actually put a lot of effort and time and thought into our relationship. And over time, we as humans take our relationships for granted. Much like we take love relationships for granted, we take personal friendship relationships for granted even more. When we stop being there on time, we stop making our plans with them. When we have plans, we're constantly canceling at the last minute. We would never do that in the beginning. Never. Taking for granted. And long-term friendships have the most chance of being taken for granted because of the time frame. If someone's been around for 10 years, you expect them to be around for 10 more years at least. And that's the key, is that a lot of times because of the time, we don't work and cultivate the relationship. We just assume that it's always going to be there. It's never going to change. We're always going to have them in our life. And everything's just going to be the same. But that's just not reality. That's a Kool-Aid that was invented a long time ago that a lot of people have been drinking. But a lot of people have been drinking that Kool-Aid and they're alone now. Their friend has gone because they were taken total advantage of. I mean, I've even had come to Jesus conversations with some of my good friends. I remember one time, it was like we had made plans 1 week, and the day before they canceled and said, hey, I got something going on, I can't do it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, how about next week? They're like, perfect. So we put it on the calendar. The day before the next time, oh, Ashley, you know, I'm just not going to be able to make it. I got to take care of my family, got to do something. Okay, that's fine, it's fine. I was like, well, you go on and call a shot next time when you want to do it. We set up an appointment. It was the day of they canceled that time. And normally, you know, you give people three times and then after that, you kind of take it personally. You know, shame on them once, shame on me twice, that kind of thing. Oh, my God. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to make any plans. Every time we've made plans, it's never worked. Every time we've made plans, it's never actually come to fruition. And I'm out. And I remember it was funny. They called me up and they said, hey, what's been going on? And I was like, not much. It's been working. And they're like, you want to get together? I was like, man, I'm a little gun shy on this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've made plans a dozen times and we just can't keep it together. And we had a good discussion about it. And we're closer now than we were ever. But it took that conversation to sit down and say, hey, I see what's going on. If you want to keep going this direction, that's fine. But that's not a friendship to me. Not being there and canceling at the last minute and just not really respecting and taking for granted is really not the kind of relationship I want to be in right now. And maybe we wait a little while, maybe we take a step back, but otherwise I'm just pointing out the obvious. You know, another thing that I've found a lot in clients who are in friendships or relationships that it's time to cut bait, and this even applies to a love relationship as well, is that they make you feel bad about yourself. And I agree, I'm a therapist, so nobody can make you do anything, okay? I hear it. Can't make you feel bad about yourself, but people can do a good job of thrusting you into feeling guilty or bad about yourself just by bringing up certain things. And I know we have more control over ourselves, but it's hard sometimes when people bring up things that you did in the past that you are somewhat ashamed of. I bet many of you listening have been in a situation where you're having a good time, you're out with your good friend, your old school friend, long-term relationship, and everything is just wonderful. It couldn't have been any better. And the person looks over at you and goes, "Hey, man, remember that time when we were out with those folks and you got super, super, super drunk and you ended up taking off all your clothes and you ran naked in that parking lot. Do you remember that? And then you got arrested. Do you remember that? Yeah, and I had to bail you out. You didn't have any clothes. God, that was really messed up. I don't know. How many people do you think saw you, man? I mean, you think there was like 30, 50 people out there on that street? There had to have been at least more than that. I mean, I'm not counting the cops and all, but I'm just saying, you know, there must have been like 50 people out there that saw you do that. God. And you're over there like, oh my God, that was one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. I mean, you're still ashamed of that. Like, you can't get past that. I know that's an extreme example, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you can't get past it. You've dealt with this for years, and you're still trying to get past this shame that you feel over a situation that your good buddy just brought up over drinks. Like, this is something you've been working in therapy for 2 years to try to get over, and they just bring it up like that, and you're like, oh my God, as it jars you. It puts you back like an arrested development, and there you are running down that street naked, throwing your clothes behind you, people all laughing, pointing at you. Oh my God, it's awful. And seriously, when you're in a relationship that's no longer valuable, that's lost its value, that is no longer there to help you, but it's actually there to maybe hamper you, this is a big theme. Bringing up things that you did in your past that you might still be ashamed of. I mean, it's hard to clear your mind of things that you did in the past that, I mean, all of us have something that we're ashamed of. And for the most part, many of us have friends that know of what we're most ashamed of. And with that thought, if somebody realizes that they know that stuff, realizes the power of that over you, and uses that over you, uses that power over you, they are no longer your friend. They have gone way past friend. They are no longer friends. At this point in time, you really need to watch your back. Because if you have one iota of respect for your friend, the last thing you would do is bring up the most painful, the most guilt-ridden, the most ashamed and shame-giving memory that they have and bring it up to them in a situation where they're not expecting it. I've had that happen several times by people that they weren't that close to me, but they were trying to start a really good friendship with me, and we'd been friends in the past, and they would bring up a couple of things, and I was like, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? I remember, I think it was Happy Gilmore with Adam Sandler when he's talking to Shooter McGavin. And Shooter McGavin's like that jerk off, you know, the guy in the PGA Tour that's wanting his green jacket, gold jacket, whatever. And he starts bringing up some stuff about, you know, about Gilmore. And he looks at me and goes, you know, my grandmother died. Do you want to bring that up? And it's true. It's like a lot of times, it's not until we start catching on, though, when we realize that someone's trying to bring us down. And the thing about a long-term old-school friend is that that's the last person you ever pin down for being someone that doesn't have your best at heart. You would take down all the other people around you, but when it comes to your oldest friend or somebody that's been around for a very long time, the last thing you're thinking about is that they're trying to take you down. And so it can be kind of eye-opening. It can be very eye-opening when you realize this in an old-school relationship, because it can get you to start thinking about stuff from the past that you might not have thought of before. All in all, in these situations, when it's time to cut ties with an old friend, is when it seems that they seem to get joy from pointing out your mistakes and failures. Just like in a marriage that's going south, when the spouse begins to point out to the spouse all the mistakes and failures that that person is making, that is the beginning of the end of the marriage. Same for a friendship. It's supposed to be joyful. It's supposed to be based in friendship, in camaraderie, compassion. And when it's not, it becomes a rivalry, a competition. Not at all what friendship is. It turns and it becomes mean and evil. And there comes a time when you just cannot continue to live like this if you want to have peace of mind and be living an authentic life. You just can't deal with this. It's not right. And so something has to be changed. So beginning now, the best thing that can be done is to evaluate the friendship at hand. After listening to the show and everything that I've listed, if these apply to your current friendship, it's time to evaluate what you should do. And the best thing to do is, you know, kind of a test. A test. And what I mean by that is to actually call up your buddy and get together and evaluate how you feel around them. How you feel around them. And see and feel how you feel. This is a big deal. This is something that most of us take for granted. We hear what somebody says, but we don't really think about how we feel around them. And a really good friendship is one of those that you don't have to talk even sometimes. It's just the way you feel. And you know that that person gets you or understands you. But you sit back and meet with them and see how you feel. And see if any of these things seem to come out in the conversation. I mean, first off, does it feel like a chore or punishment to spend time with them? Do they put you down or disrespect you? Does it seem that they're constantly one-upping you? What about, are they silently competing with you or silently hating on you? Like, you start realizing that maybe they don't really want the best for you and they're hoping that you fail. What about if they don't love themselves or respect themselves and they don't show themselves any respect? How do you really think they're going to show you respect? What about if they're talking about a lot of people in front of you in a negative way? Does that ever make you wonder if they go out with other people and talk about them and talk about you in front of them in a negative way? And that's not just one thing. So I would have to sit there and evaluate. But for the most part, think about it. Does it feel like a chore? Do you have anything in common? Are they talking about other people? Do they take their anger or frustration out on you? And are you codependent in dealing with it? And accepting that anger and rage. But biggest issue, do they make you feel bad about yourself in a way that they bring up things from the past that you're ashamed of, and that they seem to get joy from pointing out your mistakes and failures? These things are very important to realize. And sometimes they can be masked in jokes. LOL, laugh out loud. Haha, funny, funny. Just kidding. Seriously. And the more they're masked, the more you have to ask yourself, why are you in this friendship? And remember that you can't get your time back. Like, the grand universe doesn't look at you and go, well, Ashley, you know, that friendship didn't work out, but you spent 20 years in it, so here's 20 years back to go make another friendship. Well, it doesn't work like that. And I know that because we see it that way, we have a tendency of saying, well, I have 20 solid years invested in this person. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work because I already had 20 years in it. I'm not walking out on this relationship right now. I'm going to make this work. Okay, so you're just going to add more time to it. Instead of saying, okay, 20 years, that's a lot. I'm going to end this friendship at this point in time because I have to move on. I've got to spread my wings. I've got to move on. It's time to let that go and not invest anymore. I mean, the rationale behind that is basically like, let's say you invested $2 million into a stock. And over a period of time, over several years, it just completely tanked and you lost $2 million. And then you turn around and you go, well, I spent 2 years losing that $2 million. I'm going to try it again. And this time I'm going to put another $2 million in and I'm going to see what happens. No, you don't do that. But that's the same thing we do with friendships. You know how many people there are in this world? Do you know how many people are out there that are probably really decent people and good people that you could be friends with? Instead of trying to triage this friendship and try to figure out what to do and how to make it better and how to get everybody on the, you know, no! It's time at that point to let go. And it's interesting because when we begin to believe in ourselves and we find the love within ourselves and we find the love for ourselves that we have within ourselves, we begin to realize in the beginning subconsciously, but then consciously, what we must do to affirm the love and belief in ourselves. And what that means is that we actually get into friendships and make friends and make acquaintances and do this and do that in our life based on the respect that we have for ourselves. And in the past, I found out that when I had very little respect for myself, I chose quite poorly in the friendship area. And it was funny how you try to take that friendship and you try to keep it over time, but you made it in the time of your life that you weren't in a very good place. And it would be one thing if both of you had been in a not so good place and then both of you realized who you were and you understood and you found out how to love yourself and you got clarity. That would be different. But not often do both people grow together in a friendship that began dysfunctionally. It's one thing if both of them are very functional, the relationship began very functional, and you keep growing, that's great. And those are the relationships that I believe can last a lifetime. But I think that a lot of us made friendships, especially long-term friendships, that started at a different time period. Maybe we were extremely young. And as kids, I mean, heck, from a kid to an adult, you make a lot of changes. And it's not that that person's bad. It's not like they're a bad person. They're awful. They're awful. I never want to see. No. It's just that it's not going to work. And, you know, it's the same thing when we see a lot of people that get married right out of high school. It's really hard because when you met each other in high school and now you're in like your 30s, early 40s, you had to have grown together instead of separate for an extremely long period of time and a major age gap. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication and some personality similarities that allow that to stay that way. And there was probably a lot of hurdles and a lot of pain that went with that process too. And so what I'm saying right now is that when you believe in yourself and you love yourself, you make choices for yourself that show yourself that you love yourself and that you believe in yourself. Because that's what truly matters. And, you know, in the end, when everything's said and done, knock on wood, I haven't been there yet to tell you exactly what the end looks like. But as you grow and it's time to move on, it's just, it's your culmination. It's your, it's everything that you've done in your life. And all of these experiences make you who you are. And you don't have time to be doing things that don't help or don't reaffirm the love and respect you have for others and yourself. I've tried to hang out with people from my past that we met at a certain time and it was a great time when we met and we've tried to keep that friendship, but I've even had friendships that are so extremely different from me that I've actually had people look at me and go, how are you friends with that person? Like, how? And I thought when I first heard that, that it was just the rudest comment anybody could say. And I was like, how dare you? You have no idea. And I sat back after that and I began to realize, though, we were nothing alike. And I remember one time, a good friend of mine that we'd been friends for a long time, we went out to a restaurant and he just got so angry with the server, with our waiter, and just kept going on and on and putting down the server and putting him down. And it was horrific. It was painful. It was painful. And if anybody's been on the other side of that, you know how painful it is. It's like you just want to run. You want to run and hide. You want to get out of there because you just can't stand it anymore. And I thought maybe this was a bad day for them. Maybe it was just a bad time. Something had gone on that they wouldn't tell me. And so like 3 weeks later when we made plans again, the same thing. And it was excruciating. And that's just not how I am. I treat everybody with respect. Even people that don't give respect, it doesn't matter. Because you know the way we talk directly, we hear everything that we say. Right? So everything that we say to others goes into our ears and we hear it. So the way that we respond to others is direct response to ourselves. It's like the same idea when you put the middle finger up, guess who sees it first? You do. That's why I don't ever use that option. But I have in the past when I was younger and I was like, man, I don't like the way that looks because it's pointing right up to me. But when you realize there's certain things are just not you and your values are different, and maybe they've always been different and now it's become glaringly obvious, it's time to make room to know yourself, and it's time to make room to allow them to grow and you to move on to different, more fruitful relationships that can impact you in a positive, life-giving, life-changing concept. By the way, check me out on iTunes, and when you get a chance and you're listening on iTunes, I would amazingly love your review. If you can spend a second and review on iTunes, Live Your True Life Perspectives, I would love that. 5 stars is amazing if you feel like that. As well as if you have questions or ideas for really cool topics that you think would be very helpful and very eye-opening and something that really interests you, go on and comment on Spreaker, and I will definitely look over the concept, as well as go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. And if you want to talk to me directly, click on the About page, click on Contact, and you can fill out that form, and it'll be sent to me ASAP, and I will reach out immediately. Remember, it's all about you. Every relationship we have in our life is based on the relationship we have with ourselves. If we truly love ourselves and we truly care about ourselves, we will find other people in our life to spend time with that truly love and care about themselves, making it an equal opportunity friendship, making it for a balanced friendship, making it for something that a friendship that we learn from, we experience from, and we have gratitude for. Because that's why we're here, is to understand people, to unify, and to respect. On the next Live Your True Life Perspectives, I'll be talking about once you know that the relationship is toxic, what you can do about it and how you can get out of it. Have a great and wonderful rest of your day and week. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in three shakes.
I like perspectives with